When you hear the word summoned, what comes to mind? Court jury summons, yep. That's definitely one of the first things that came to my mind when you're summoned to something, or a principal's office, or I thought of a boss's office. Some of you know Dilbert, and he's got his boss there. I used to work in a corporate setting, and every year we would have to have annual reviews. Some of you are familiar with how this goes, and you've got to sit before your boss and try and say, oh, I did a great job. These are all the things I did this year. And then they say, okay, sure, no raise for you, sorry. But, you know, that kind of thing. But sometimes, summons can sometimes be a scary thing, something you're not looking forward to. You're at your desk and you know they're going to, and then it rings, and then the secretary says, the boss is ready to see you now. And you're like, but sometimes, when you're looking forward to something or you're waiting to hear some news, maybe again in a job setting, there's a promotion that you're waiting on and you can't wait to get it, or there's a new job assignment and you're hoping that you're the one that gets it. So when the phone rings and says the boss wants to see you, you're excited to answer that call. And you're ready to go into that summons, to be summoned into that meeting. And I think that's what we have in Acts chapter 13, is that God has summoned Paul and Barnabas. He's brought him into his office and said, I've got a new job assignment for you. I've got something for you. Now, the way that it says it in Acts chapter 13 is that the work to which I have called you. That's what the Holy Spirit says to the church there, set aside Barnabas and Paul to the work to which I have called them. But the same word could be used for summoned them. And I like that idea, like he's calling them before them, because this is a face-to-face meeting with God, and he says, I've got work for you to do. I am calling you. And is God this morning summoning you? See, I hope as we go along through this message, as we read about this simple calling, I mean, it's simple and yet dramatic calling of Paul and Barnabas, I hope you won't just read about it as a thing that happened in the past, but that you'll realize that God, even today, continues to call people and to invite them to cooperate with the work that he is doing. So is God summoning you with a job assignment? Or is God summoning our church with a job assignment? That's what I want to look at today. We're in Acts 13. If you have it, if you have your Bible, please open up so we can just look at a few of those verses together. And as you're getting your Bible out, I'm going to pray for us and ask for the Holy Spirit's help this morning. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us your truth. You have spoken to us so that we can hear. And Lord, we're thankful also that you have given us your Holy Spirit so that this word comes alive and that you continue to speak to us today. This morning, Lord, if you are speaking, may we be ready to hear. May we be ready to respond. And Lord, this morning, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 13 is a bit like a hinge in the book of Acts. If you've been with us for the last many weeks, we've been going through the book of Acts and seeing the exciting story of the church. And most of the story so far about the church has taken place in Jerusalem and Judea. That's where it began. That's where the apostles were. They were in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit fell and then began the work of the church. And so most of the story up till now has been about the church that's in Judea and that surrounding area and the city of Jerusalem and the areas that we would know today as Israel and Palestine. And so that's where it's been. But we've heard about a few other things that have happened here and there, like this church in a town called Antioch, which was north of Israel, which was in a different region. But in that town, a church was started, and it was a diverse church. It was as diverse as the city itself was, because Antioch was a town where these different trade routes would come in, and so people from all over the world were there. And we hear about this church in Antioch where there's Jew and Gentile together, and they're worshiping together, people from all over the world. And so even this list we have here of some of the leadership in that church in Antioch, we see in verse 1, people like Barnabas, well, he's not from Antioch, he's from Jerusalem. But there he finds himself there in the church of Antioch. Then there's Simeon, who was called Niger. And Niger is a word that means either dark or black. So this is likely an African person who is in the church and in the leadership here of the church, in Lucius of Cyrene, and again, a place in Africa, where they've come, though, here in Antioch, and Manaen, a friend of Herod. So this is somebody probably from that area, because Herod was the king in that area. This diverse church. And then Saul, of course. Saul himself was also named Paul. And Paul was from modern-day Turkey. But Barnabas had gone and gotten him and said, you need to come and be a part of the work that's happening in Antioch. So here we have this church, and it's active, and it's alive, and good things are happening. But God has a different plan for Paul and Barnabas. They've been serving there, but now God is going to call them out of there. And so the church is gathered, and they're worshiping, and the Holy Spirit speaks. I don't know exactly what that looked like. I don't know if they all heard it. I think it's more likely that one of these who is named a prophet heard from the Lord and then spoke and said, God wants Paul and Barnabas to get busy with the work that he has set them apart to. And so here, even though things are going great, God says, but you guys, I've got a job assignment for you. I want you to leave here, and I want you to start taking the message all over the empire. And what began with Paul and Barnabas continues to this day, right here and around the world. The missionary movement, the forward movement of the gospel to bring the good news all over the world. And it begins right here in Acts chapter 13. Because God called Paul and Barnabas. See, God calls people to specific works. If you're the fill-in-the-blank type on your handout, that's the first one there. Here is God calls people to specific works. And what I mean by that is, of course, there's a generic call to obedience and to holiness that is true for every believer and every Christian. But God also has job assignments. And sometimes He'll tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to do this. God calls people to specific works. And so Paul and Barnabas were called out. They didn't just say, hey, you guys, somebody in the church should go do something. No, God said, Paul, Barnabas, I have set you aside for this work. I have set you apart. I've called you out of that so that you will do this job for me. And God continues to call people today to specific things that He wants you to do. And so I have no doubt there are people who are sitting here this morning and God is tapping you on the shoulder saying, I've got something for you. I want you to do this for me. Now see, there are seasons in our lives, of course, in which we're just to remain steadfast right where we are. And so you don't need to, I thought of Don Quixote, that story where he's chasing windmills and he thinks he's a knight, but he's really just a peasant on a horse. And he thinks the windmills are giants and he's going after them. And so he's just this Don Quixote always looking for some adventure. I'm not talking about just the having the personality that wants adventure. Because there are seasons in which we're called to be faithful right where we are. And to be faithful in the things that God has put in front of us right now. But there are also times when He says, what you've been doing is great, but I have something different. And we need to be ready to respond when He calls us. And I think just like God calls people, I think He calls churches to certain things. You know, churches have personalities. Churches, you know, our church is not like Faith or Charlton or Life Song or Hope Chapel. There are other churches around and they're doing awesome things. But we're a different church. And just like God calls people, I think God calls churches at times to say, you've been doing this, but you know what? I really want you to go this direction. This is what I have for you. God calls churches to specific works as well. And I believe we're in a season of listening and discerning because I think God is saying, I want you to do something new. I want you to move in new directions. And I want us to be open to hear that. Will we hear Him when He calls us? Will we be ready? Because God wants us to be ready. We need to be in a place. We need to position ourselves as individuals and as a church to be ready when God calls. You know, with the disasters that are happening down in the Carolinas and along the Atlantic coast there with the hurricane, I'm getting some emails from a group called Disaster Relief, or Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. And this is a volunteer organization that, like much like the Red Cross, when there is a major disaster, people organize and then they go down and they help with the recovery and different things. Here's a picture, a sample picture of a disaster relief group. They have there a mobile shower unit, one of these things that I wouldn't have thought of, but if you lose your house, where are you going to shower? And they'll come in with a mobile shower, or they'll come in with a kitchen, a mobile kitchen, and set up food for people, or they'll do mud outs. If you've ever done that or even seen pictures of that, it's horrible work, where you got to get in there and help dig out a house that's covered in mud after a flood. Disaster relief, there are people, when you train for that. Now, it's not extensive, but you train and you get ready, and then you're on the team. But then most of the time, there's not a disaster happening, so you're not doing anything with it. But then when something happens, you'll get an email, and it'll say, all right, we're at level one. Level one means you just need to know that we might be going. And then there's multiple levels, but then they have standby. They have the standby. This is, we are going to go. We just don't know exactly when, but you need your bags packed. You need your trucks ready because you're going to get the call at any moment and you need to be ready to respond. I believe that God puts every Christian on standby. See, when the call comes in, if you're on standby, that's not the time to go, oh, let me go pack my bags. It's too late because they're leaving. When you're on standby, you are ready to respond to the call, and God has put you on standby. God says, I want you ready whenever I call. I want you ready to be obedient and follow the thing that I'm calling you to do. And God would want our church to be on standby, not just sort of lazying along just wherever we happen to go, no, ready and poised. Now, how do we do that? How do we make sure that we're ready when God calls? As individuals, how do we do it? As a church, how do we do it? I'm going to give you two important keys to know how you can get ready to hear God's call and then be ready to respond. And the first is, I've already sort of hinted at it. It's very simple. Be faithful in what you're doing right here and now. Be faithful in what you're doing right now. See, if you aren't being obedient in the things God has given you right here and now, there's no reason to expect He's going to tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, I've got something even better for you, or I've got something new for you. We need to be faithful right where we are. We see that with Saul and Barnabas here. Saul and Barnabas were in the church, but they weren't sitting around, you know, staring into their navel going, okay, at some point God's going to call us and then we'll get busy. They were busy doing the things that God already had told them to do. Back in chapter 11, we're told about Barnabas going and finding Saul and bringing him to the church. And it says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. Paul and Barnabas were busy doing the work of God that was already right in front of them. The church at Antioch was already a vibrant church that was serving the Lord and serving one another. And then when there was a need, they collected up a big offering. And again, Paul and Barnabas were the ones tapped on the shoulder to say, can you go bring this to our brothers down in Jerusalem? They were serving right where they were at. And so the first thing we need to do, if we want to be ready for something new or something next, we have to be serving faithfully and following and being faithful in exactly where we are right here. I think I've told you before, sorry if I've been here 4 years now, I'm probably repeating illustrations, that's just going to happen from time to time. But I remember a coworker that I had who was always dreaming of the future job that he deserved, and so he did his current job very poorly, even though he was really smart and he knew how to do it and he could knock it out no problem, but he's so busy about what he deserved up here or where his future was, he wasn't faithful here. God wants us to be ready for the future by being faithful with what we have right here. So that's the first thing. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful in our lives with the mission field God has given us, with the areas of service that He's given us. Let's be faithful as a church in the ministries that we have that exist and how we're doing them now. Let's do them well. Let's always seek to improve them. Let's be faithful. The other thing that the church here in Antioch did and that Paul and Barnabas did, they were faithfully serving, but they were also readying themselves through worship and prayer and the Word of God. You need to ready yourself by having the disciplines of prayer and the discipline of being in God's Word and in worshiping the Lord. See, that's when God spoke to them. Did you catch that? It says when they, in verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. Their hearts, their minds, And their lives were open and ready because they were a worshiping people. They were a people who were praying. They were a people who knew and were being taught the Word of God. You know, I've said this one before. I know I have, if you whether you remember it or not. But if you want to train to be a runner, what do you have to do? You got to start running, right? It's not rocket science. It's simple. You want to be a runner, start running. I mean, I'm sure there's other things you can tweak your diet and you can maybe do some different exercises, but at the heart of it, if you want to be a runner, you run. If you want to be a Christian, how do you increase, how do you mature, how do you grow? Through worship, prayer, in the Word. If you're looking for something else or something new or different because that seems so, well, yeah, I know that stuff. Give me something else. No, that's it. You want to run? Get out there and run. You want to be a Christian? Start praying. Get in the Word and worship God, and you'll see the growth. And that's how you prepare your heart and your mind to hear from God. Because you've already been listening to His voice right here. You've already been talking to Him in prayer. You've already been opening up your heart and your life in worship. This is how you lay the groundwork to hear when God is calling you to something specific. Be faithful where you're at and train yourself. Get yourself ready. Discipline yourself in worship and prayer and the Word. Now, sometimes when you hear the word discipline, it seems like the opposite of the freedom that you might think of you need to be able to go wherever God calls you at any time. Right? Like, oh, does that mean I just need to be that sort of bohemian, ready to, you know, hey, I just drift over here and I'm ready to drift wherever you call me to? I don't think that's the right model. We're not called to drift into what God calls us to. He's called us to be ready. And think of it like a musician or an athlete. Think of a musician or an athlete. I play guitar. I'm not very good at it, but I can play guitar okay. But I don't have the freedom to respond to a call from Carnegie Hall that says, you know what, our musician who plays guitar, he's gotten sick. Can you step in? Because we really need you to step in and do this. I'm not that good because I haven't disciplined myself to practice day after day after day and study music and practice finger exercise. So I'm not that good at guitar because I haven't been disciplined. So when the call comes in, I can't respond. I need the discipline. Think of for the sports guys out there. Your Patriots are going to play today. They're going to win later on today at 4:25 today. That's a word of prophecy from the Lord right there. No, wait, I have to be careful because if it's wrong, you should stone me. Okay, so Patriots are going to play. If you're on defense, if you're like Dante Hightower there, you know, and you're the middle linebacker, your job is to respond to what you see the offense doing. And then react to it. But you know, I can't just walk onto the football field and think, I'm ready to respond and handle whatever happens here. Because I haven't worked out. I haven't learned the playbook. I haven't seen, you know, watched film of what the other guys are doing. I haven't refined myself. I haven't had that discipline in my life. That, and I'm 5'9", 160 pounds. But I don't think Julian Edelman's any taller than me. So, I mean, even I could if I had the discipline. No, probably not. But point being, you have to discipline yourself that then you can respond. That's the point I want you to get. Is if you want to hear God and then be ready to respond, it takes the discipline of how you live your life right here and now. And we see that in the church in Antioch. We see it with Paul and Barnabas. So when the call came, there was no, oh, now we better go get ready. They could respond and they could go. So that's how we get ready. That's how we prepare ourselves. But once the call has come, we also have to own it. We have to own what God is calling us to. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I like the books and the movies. I like them both. And in the story of the Lord of the Rings, there's a character, and he goes by two different names. When you first meet him, his name is Strider. Later, you find out he's actually the heir to a throne over the kingdoms of men. And so he's a king. And so he's rightfully King Aragorn. But as you meet him, he's Strider, living in the shadows, hiding away from things, because he's unwilling to claim his throne and his rightful privilege. Maybe it's self-doubt, or he's got other concerns. He doesn't think he can do it. He can't be the one who unites all the kingdoms and all this stuff, if you know the stories. But the point is, his real identity, the thing he's called to, he's shirking from because he won't own it. And I think there are some of us here who know that God has called us to something different. We've heard the call, but we won't own it for ourselves. Maybe we've let fear or doubt or comfort or security or any number of things keep us from owning what God has called us to do and to be. But what you see here in Acts chapter 13 is that once the call came out, they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas. That was a way of them owning it, that God had said this and it came from God, and we're saying yes. We're responding. We're not just going, well, let me go back to prayer again. No, the call had been there and they owned it. I'm not saying everything you're called to we have to lay hands on. I just see here, this is an intentional act where they said, yes, we will respond. We will own the calling you have put on our lives. And I think we need to follow that example. We need to own it for ourselves. If God is calling you to do it, don't be pushing it off. Don't be saying, well, I'm not sure about that, because you are sure and you just need to own it. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I know there's got to be some of you who need to own what God is calling you to this morning. So we're preparing. Well, first of all, we're recognizing God still calls people, and he's going to call you, and he's probably calling this church to something new. And then we want to get ready and be prepared for it. And then when it comes, we want to own it. But there's a last thing that has to happen, a release. A release. In multiple ways, this release. Now, if you've ever watched Discovery Channel or National Geographic, maybe you've watched these stories about dolphins that have been kept in captivity. Maybe they were sick or something, and they've been brought into captivity, and they've been nursed back to health. And they're finally healthy again. But to really reach their potential as dolphins, as what God has created them to be, they can't stay in the pool forever. I mean, it's nice that they can jump through hoops and maybe put on a show, but really be the dolphins that they're created to be, they need to be released. They need to be let go so that they can go forth. And so what happens here in Acts chapter 13 is that the church, after fasting and praying and laying hands on them, it says they sent them off. And again, you could just as easily substitute in the translation the word they released them. It's like they took the leash off. I love that image. It's like Paul and Barnabas, like dogs ready to run and play and go do something, and they're just waiting, and as soon as the leash is off, they're gone. You've seen them at the park, right? The dog that's just like pulling their master because they're ready to go, but they haven't been released, and then the church releases them. That must have been hard for that church. Right? We're told of five leaders. I mean, they may have had others, but they named five leaders in that church, and now they're about to lose two of them. That would be hard on that church. But if the church is going to be faithful to what God has called the church and Paul and Barnabas to do, they have to release them. They have to let them go. Because releasing for mission always includes letting go. But you also, in your own life, there may be things that you're hanging on to and God has called you and you're unwilling to let go of those things. And so you can't be released because you won't release or let go of the things that God wants you to let go of, that he might show you a new thing and do in you and through you a new thing. And letting go of things is hard, right? I mean, think of parents. It's hard to let your kids go, but at some point, you have to. I mean, imagine if I were doing a wedding here, and there's those symbolic moments, right, when a parent lets go of their child, a dad walking his daughter down the aisle. And then what if I were to say, you know, who gives this bride to this groom, this woman to this man, and the dad refused to say anything. And he kept his arm locked around hers and won't let her go. And the husband comes over and he's like, you ain't getting to her. You have to release. There are things we have to let go of if something new, and in this case, a beautiful new life together and new things are going to be accomplished. We have to release. And sometimes, like I said, maybe it's a church needing to unleash, parents needing to let go of kids, but also within us, there's things that we're hanging on to and we're scared to let go of them, and we won't be able to respond to the call and go unless we release them. What are some of those things God might be calling you to release? Maybe for some, it's just releasing the idol of ease and comfort. Maybe God wants you to go and do something new, but you're in a comfy place in life. You know, ease is an idol that we can worship. And so we can build our lives around trying to find just comfort. And God might be saying to you, I want you to do something. Guess what? It's not going to be easy. So you've got to let that God go. Release it. And then you can be released to what I am calling you to. Maybe it's something like security. Right? So maybe you kind of know your world. You feel safe here. You've got it all under control. And God is saying, I want you to do something else, and it's scary. And until you let go of the false security that you think that you have, you can't be released into what God is calling you to do. For some, and let's get more practical. For some of you, it might be your job. God's calling you to something different, but you're unwilling to let go of that job because of the security or because of the comfort zone or because there's a paycheck, and I don't know, I can't promise I'll have that same paycheck when I get here. God is saying, you need to let that go so you can do the new thing that I'm calling you to. Maybe it's something like a home. Right? Maybe, I mean, home ownership is a good thing. And in our country, we're blessed that there's a large number of people, more than most other countries, where people own their own homes. But you know what? Home ownership can be an idol. And it can be an anchor and a slave. Some of you are going, yeah, my mortgage payment makes me a slave. I say, yeah. Get it. Maybe God wants you to go somewhere else, but you're unwilling to let go of the thing you have here. You need to release it. I know for Sarah and I, releasing relationships, close relationships with family and friends, was something we had to let go of to be able to come here. And I don't want to tell too much of Sarah's own story, but just enough to say that being near her family was always something that she wanted and desired in her heart. So when I was looking for a job as a pastor somewhere, we talked about it. And I said, okay, well, I'll look in Minnesota because that's where they were, and I'll see if we can be there, but I don't know if that's where God's going to lead us. And it was a struggle, and it was hard. And finally, when she said, you know what, God, I'll go wherever you tell me, not just where my family is. And she released that. Then we were able to come here. And we were able to be here and see the new things God's done. And then, in His providence and wisdom, He gave us both of the things we wanted. Because the day that I got called to be the pastor of this church, I preached in view of a call, and then I went over to the parsonage while the church gathered to vote, and then you foolishly voted me in, but you did. You're stuck. It's hard. You read the Constitution or the bylaws, it's hard to get rid of me, so you're stuck with me for a while. You guys voted, you came back and you told us, so we got on the phone and she called her parents and said, hey, you know, church called him, Stephen's going to take this job. And they said, well, we wanted to wait until it was sure to tell you this, but we're going to move out there. She got what she wanted, the both, because of the releasing. I don't think we would have seen that happen if we hadn't released those relationships. And for me, I released my parents, and I'm still, they're not moving here. They say, winter? No, not happening. We live in Southern California. They will be here. They're going to visit. My dad's going to preach on the last Sunday of the month, so I get to see them. But I had to release that. Some of you have relationships that you're unwilling to release. And some of them, they're not even alive anymore. And you're unwilling to release it. That's hard to say, and I don't want to be insensitive. And I'm not saying turn your back on memories, but you're stuck somewhere. And God wants you to release that so He can take you to something new. I'll leave that there because that's hard, and I haven't experienced that myself. So I don't want to say that to you, but I just feel like God's saying to some of you, you need to release that. Now, what about a church? Are there ever times when a church needs to release certain things? Absolutely. There are things that God wants us to do, but unless we have a mindset that, that says, I'm ready to let go of what's come before, we'll never get there. And I have to say, that doesn't mean disown what came before. Because what's come before is good in this church. We're celebrating 280 years of ministry here in Rochdale, in Leicester. God has been at work. And I was looking at some of the old annual business, annual reports for the church. And I was back in like the late 80s, as far as I could go. Guess what? There are a lot more people here in this one service than there was in the service back in 1988. In fact, it's almost tripled. It's closer to quadruple. There were like 50 to 60 coming on a Sunday, and now there's like 220, 230. Good things have been happening. But I think God wants us to move in new directions, which means we have to honor that past, but not cling to it. See, this building wasn't here in 1988. And it was not easy to get to the point of releasing what was before to come into this new place. But have we not seen God do new things in amazing ways because of the faithfulness to step out and do that? And I think he's calling us to that kind of thing again, where we are ready to let go of the past, not because it's bad, we're not disowning it, we're celebrating and honoring it so that we can look to the future of where God wants us to go. And so there are things we might have to let go of. And I'm going to tell you before I say this first one that I don't have anything targeted right now specifically. I'm talking generically with the mindset that when the specifics might come, we're not shocked. But you may have a favorite ministry. And this is your thing, and you just love it, and you've always done this. And God might be calling you to let that one go because we're moving in this direction. Like I said, I don't have the bulletin board at home with the targets on your ministry. I'm not coming for you like that kind of thing. I just know when you want to do something new, there's times when even if you love what you're doing here, God's saying, it was good. Antioch was awesome. I bet Paul and Barnabas could have been content seeing that church grow forever. But he called them to something new. We might need to let go of that. Or just the old-fashioned, like the familiar one. Well, that's not the way we used to do it. We might need to let go of the way we used to do it. Again, not because it was bad, but because we can't do this if we're still trying to do it like this. If you haven't figured it out over the last several weeks, I think God's calling us to something new. I don't quite know what it is, but we're getting there. I think we're getting some picture, and I'm working with the elders. Soon I hope to say, this is what I see us being like in the future. How do we get there? This is the church I want us to become, and then we can start putting the ministries in place that we need to get there. I think we're getting close to that. But before we can get there, we have to have the mindset to be ready, to be faithful where we're at, to be ready, and then when he gives us the call, to own it. And once we own it, there's things we're going to have to release so that we can be released to these new things. But you know, it's not just about the church. It's about you. Because I believe that there are people here in this church that God is calling to certain things, to specific works, a new ministry, a new job, a new relationship, and you're being called to those things, but you're hesitant, or you're scared, or you're afraid. And I want to encourage you that when God calls you to something new, it's not that he's calling you to something easier. It's not that he's calling you to something that he guarantees it's going to be a huge success, but if you follow in what he calls you to, you will walk in joy. You will walk in satisfaction. You will have a peace. There was so much more peace after Sarah and I surrendered to say, we'll go where God leads, than there was when we were hanging on to the things we thought we needed to be happy. So much more joy and peace when we let go of those things. If God is calling you, maybe you need to let go of something. And you need to lay it down. And I'm gonna invite up, can we get maybe somebody just to play the chorus of Spirit of, or the those words, Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God. I don't know which of you guys is ready to do that. Come play Spirit of the Living God. I just want to invite you to stand up. And I want to sing, and I'm going to ask you as we sing this song, If there's something you need to let go of or lay down, it's between you and God to respond to where He's calling you, do it. Just do it. So let me pray as they're getting set up. We're gonna just have, in a sense, it's an altar call. You can come up here if you need to, or you can just do it right where you're at and come and say, God, I'm going to let this go and see where you lead me. I'm ready. I want to be like Paul and Barnabas. Use me. I want to own that call. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who calls us to stuff. Lord, you invite us to be part of what you're doing. You let us partner with you in ministry and in life and in growth, in your kingdom, in your church. And God, I want this to be a church that is ready to respond. A church that wants to follow where you are leading us to. Lord, a church that loves and celebrates what you've done before, but looks with expectancy towards what you are going to do and says, I am ready. And Lord, let us be a church that is disciplined in prayer and worship in the word so that we hear that voice and we know it's from you and we're ready to own it and to release. God, would you do that work in the individual's hearts here tonight, today, who are sensing that and they need to let it go. They need to let go of something so that they can be released to a new thing. Would you do some work in their hearts, deal with them right now, and help them to let go in Jesus' name. Amen.